Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I'm pausing it because I'm waiting for Michael Parks to come on air. For the people listeners, you're here, you're live on Scoop Slam Radio. Don't know what's happening with Mike. Just text him, told him we're ready, we're live, we're waiting on him. Haven't heard from him yet. So I'm going to give him another call or shoot him a text, even though this is his show. So let me take us to this real quick. We'll be right back. Hang on, everybody. We'll be right back. Killing me, bro. Killing me. I had to do an introduction, pause, do an introduction, put the music back on. I'm like, I just told Mike to call in. He hasn't called in, so we're waiting for you. So hold on a second. Hold on a second. This is what you get. You know the show, and we're even late this time. This is what everybody's thinking of us right now for going on so late or whatever. Hold on a second. And then this. Well, real quick, before you do the intro, let me tell you. We're laughing and joking and cooking and smoking, but it's not funny, dude, because, you know, Mike pays for Blog Talk, and we couldn't come on last week because it said something was down, blah, 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 whatever. I even screenshot it, sent it to Mike. And then today, I booted it up Sunday. I did a lot of work, had everything ready to go on Sunday. And so I come in, I pull everything up, 10 minutes till we go live, blah, 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 whatever. Won't connect. I had to shut the whole thing down, go back, kill that episode, go, you know, there's a thing where you can go live now or whatever. Yeah. So when you go live now, you literally have 30 seconds to direct connect and to get everybody on or whatever. So, but by the time I text you, bam, we're live on the air. So you gotta love Blog Talk. You know, it's a paid, you know, Mike pays a subscription for this, and we have to go through all that just to get on the air. But anyways, go ahead, Mike. Go ahead and bring us in.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Scoop Slam Radio. I'm your host, Big Mike, and we got our boy, the legend, Favi Chilo, as our producer. Favi, what's going on, bro? Other than the mishaps.
Yeah, I'm gonna take some. I'm gonna take a break and go take my blood pressure medicine, or whatever, since they got our blood pressure so up or whatever. Because you know, so much going on, and you and I've been, especially over this last weekend, working so much. You know, because we're leading up to the big show, so a lot to talk about, Mike. But real quick before we get into everything, I just want to let everybody know, dude. How about that too? For the people listening, I've been getting a lot of emails, texts, messages, stuff like that for the correct link to get to the Blog Talk, because Chad George is coming on. He's got a class. He won't be able to come on till 8:30, so we moved the show back, you know, just to accommodate him because he's got a huge jiu-jitsu tournament coming up. So, Mike, didn't we go through blogtalk.com/BossHog19, and then I went Boss Hog with one S 09 Boss Hog. So we finally got it. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/BossHog9. BossHog9. So if you want to, if you're listening and you want to get that link out, man, we got to get to Boss Hog 9. But anyways, Chad's coming up. We're going to talk about that. But you know, Mike, as I was getting everything together for that, not only is Chad having this big jiu-jitsu tournament that he's hosting at California Mixed Martial Arts, but he's also working with the USA Amateur National Mixed Martial Arts team. You know, and they're working on getting some people to represent the USA and amateur mixed martial arts and all that. So we're going to talk about that. They're going to have a big tryout or whatever in Big Bear. So I want to talk to him a little bit about that. So a lot to talk about.
I was actually reading up on that, and he took the 2022 national team.
Yeah.
And they went over and they fought, and they actually did a pretty good job. You know,
yeah.
So, hey. You know, I was reading his credentials, bro.
Yeah.
The badass.
Yeah. He's got a lot going on. But you know, the only thing I'm worried about is because you know I'm an inspector for the CAMO, for the California
right.
Amateur Mixed Martial Arts Organization, and I happen to be the inspector for one of his fighters. You know, and you have to stay unbiased. You know, we got to make sure everything's, you know, because if not, then it's not a sport. It's just, you know, you're just going out there or whatever. And one of his fighters actually tapped somebody and they missed it and they went to their corners. And when they came back out, his fighter got caught by a flying knee and ended up getting knocked out. And he was livid, bro. He's like, dude, he tapped and we got it on tape and here's, and he showed. So it was a whole thing. And I didn't even really get to talk to him after that's over because, you know, you have to stay by. So I'm like, all right, hey, bro, you know, go talk to David. That's the main guy, blah, 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 whatever. And it went on forever. It went on forever. So I just hope he doesn't bring that up, you know, when we
keep
talking.
I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah. Yeah, no big deal or whatever.
I didn't know that.
Dude, that kid that got the win after being tapped, he went on Sean Black's Amped Up show on his podcast. And dude, I think he even admitted it. I think he showed the tape or whatever and all that. So it was a whole big thing. But anyways, so we'll talk to him at about the 8:30 mark or whatever. But real quick, because I want to talk to you about Relentless Pro, because I know you went to Relentless Pro to go check that out. And then I want to talk about Lucha Libre Alliance, because I didn't get a chance to see much of the matches because I was helping, you know, Kayam and Enigma in the back and getting some stuff together for them, because especially having it over at Metroflex. So I want to talk a little bit about that. But, dude, did you watch any of NXT?
Oh, not a whole lot. Not a whole lot of it. There's something. It's gotten – I don't know if I'm losing my will to watch NXT anymore.
Uh-huh.
Is it exciting now?
Because they're getting to the silliness again. I forget her name, Tina Queen something or whatever. She lost the match, so she had to go work on the ranch or whatever, which they're pulling that from back in NWA days when they made what's-her-name do that or whatever. She had to be the slave for a week or something like that. It was just god-awful. Yeah, just silly, you know? And then you can't be a regular person. Everybody is Lima Llama or Gold Tooth or, you know, Bushwhack Jenkins. Nobody, you know, luckily Dragon Lee got to come and keep his name because I thought, oh, they're going to make him, you know, El Rayo de Fundillo or something, you know? So they had, and then he wrestled Brian Pillman Jr., in the main event for the North American belt. And they made Brian Pillman King Nakajima or something. I mean, it's just nobody can have
Lord.
It has to be a specific, you know, you have to have this gimmick in his name. So it says, I look at the guide. It says it's going till 7:08, right? I said, okay, cool. We got the show coming on or whatever. So I go and I go, okay, they went to picture in picture. Let me set up the stuff real quick or whatever. I got 8 minutes. I go back to go check it out. And at about 7:05, and it was over.
Uh-huh.
By 7:06, they were already showing. So I don't know who won or what happened. I missed the whole thing. But we've, you know, Mike, you and I have gone back on this. You know, I'm so glad that people like Dragon League get to go and make that money, dude, you know, be able to take care of their families and, you know, buy a nice house and stuff like that. But it just, you know, it's just god awful, dude. I mean, it seems to me like they're just biding their time to make their money and get out, like Andrade and people like that, right?
Yeah, man. Again, that's why I used to be a diehard NXT fan. I used to watch it all the time. At one point, even said it was better than the main roster. But it's just gotten to the point where I can't. It's almost like watching championship wrestling from Arizona.
I don't know. And you would think that it would be a lot better with Shawn Michaels at the helm or whatever, but it's just, you know, I'm sorry, man. It's just a drizzling shit. Sorry, but I gotta be honest. But anyways, I want to talk a little bit about Lucha Libre Alliance. But tell me a little bit about Relentless 4, because from what I hear, I didn't get a chance to go. Of course, you know, when you got to go pick up Rudo Ram at San Ysidro, and then, you know, you got to drive him around, and you wanted to go to the marketplace and all this stuff. So I didn't get to see the show on Saturday. But from what I heard, they actually drew a pretty good crowd. Biggie Biggs defended his title, but, you know, from what I hear, there was controversy at the end. So talk a little bit about that, if you can.
Yeah, it was. You know what? It was a fun night. They had probably 150 people, and excuse me, place was packed.
Yeah.
And I mean, they popped for it, and it was. I'm dead serious, and it was fun. You know, it was very fun. They had this brother come out. His name was C-Love. And he came out to Keith Sweats, right, in the wrong way to love somebody. I couldn't stop laughing. Uh-huh. You know, the crowd was like, hey, all right. And I'm like, cut it out. But he wrestled Casey Phoenix.
Oh, and, from OCCW.
You know, bro. And you know, I like that cat. It was a good match. I mean, the entire show. Was a good match. A good show. Everybody wrestled their butt off. You know, Mikey O'Shea put on a show, like always. You know, and you know, I got a chance. You know, I shouted him out today on our messenger because he came up to me. We talked. You know, it was the second time he and I had a conversation, and you know, he came. He sought me out, which was awesome. So. But the show itself was cool. Got to see Biggie Biggs defend the title against Inferno. And Inferno's getting better. Inferno's getting better.
Hold on a second. You said Inferno's getting better?
Yeah.
Here's the thing, real quick. I don't mean to interrupt you, but this is what it seems like to me, okay? Because I saw, you know, to me, Inferno was a big fish in a small pond at OCCW. I mean, every time you and I went to go see him before, and it just seems like, dude, he just the fit's not right. But when they brought Venom Guerrero down to come and wrestle him, I don't know where you were. I think you're doing something dumb like working. He brought it out in him. That was a match and a half. You know what I mean? And that's when, you know, myself, who's been in the business for years, I said, hey, Mike, you got to bring this guy. You know, he's really good. So to me, that's what I see in him. It, like, if he has a good dance partner, you know, he's gonna have a good match. Is that what, was that the case?
Yeah. I mean, he moves a lot better than he used to. He's a lot more agile and athletic than he was. You know, he hasn't lost any size, but he's starting to find his footing. And he needs to amp up his opponents. And I think it's going to start because the surprise of the night was Big Spice Boogie showed up. And they went head-to-head. So I believe that they're going to meet up Relentless Pro's April show. Don't quote me on that, but...
And the winner takes on Biggie Biggs?
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't ask the booker.
Hold on a second. Billy Bonds, can you enlighten us on... We're lost in a sea of emotion. Please clarify. Please hold a press conference to clarify. Go ahead.
But no, it was good, man. The only thing that was missing was a solid women's match.
Yeah.
That would have put the icing on the cake for that show.
Yeah, then they would have had a little bit of everything.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so.
Well, on a scale of one... Oh, you still got more?
Well, Savannah Stone's boyfriend.
Duh, okay.
You know what? He's over there, bro.
Boy.
Yeah, he is. That's who Mikey wrestled.
Uh-huh.
But he's over. Him and his tag team partner...
Uh-huh.
No, Mikey wrestled his. I'm sorry, Mikey wrestled his tag team partner. My bad.
Okay.
I forgot the kid's name. He's pretty big.
Uh-huh.
And he's not bad. He's not bad at all. But
okay.
They really, as heels, they're over. It surprised me. It really did. It surprised me. I wish he just wasn't so frail. Skinny.
Maybe it's just me because I'm an old man or whatever, but I don't like Mikey is a big dude and he knows how to work the crowd. Some of his comedy stuff is, you know, a bit much, but he puts on a show. You know what I mean? So to me, he could bring that out in somebody as well. Cause I've seen him work matches like when he worked with Steam Bodai and it was easily 5 stars. And this is coming from me. So it's like,
right.
I guess it just depends on the dance partner that you have, which is something you and I try to do, you know, as much. Dude, how many times do we sit at Local Grind and go, well, what if we put this dude? Well, if we put this dude against this, you know what I mean? So that's kind of like what you try to do with PWA, right?
Oh, of course. You know, we would like to make matchups that people don't see. And it's kind of hard, you know, because these guys travel around. You know, and wrestle everywhere. So, you know, somebody might put them against each other. But we try and pick guys that you haven't seen wrestle against each other, and can both go.
Right.
And put on a hell of a show. And so, you know, that's what you're gonna get on February 10th.
Yeah.
In this tag team tournament. You know, this is gonna be fun. And the crazy thing is, there's been some tag teams that are like, hey, you missed us, bro. We should have been in that tournament. And
well,
I'm like, oh, you know what? You'll get your chance.
And you make a good point when you say, you know, well, it was interesting, this matchup, because I wouldn't – when you say Biggie Biggs versus Inferno, I'm like, well, I might want to check out that match because I wouldn't have put that together. So let's see what happens. You know what I mean? That's something I like to see what the outcome of that is. So I think that's probably what's the draw, you know, for a lot of the people. But that's all part of it, dude. People, and how many times do we go through this? Isn't it? I mean, anybody could rent a ring and just put some wrestlers together and do a show. But if you want those people to come back and pique their interest, you know, that's what we're talking about. That's what, you know, before I go to break and we talk about Lucha Libre Alliance, give me just wrap it up in a nutshell of what you think, because I know you're friends with Bear or whatever who works over there or whatever, and Billy Bonds, God bless him, he does work hard, you know, getting sponsors and trying to get the best show out there or whatever, and it seems like he's on the right track with trying to pique, you know what I mean, pique the people's interest, right?
Right.
So give me a brief wrap up of it.
One through 10, I would give it a 6.5. Yeah, I'd give it a 6.5.
Yeah.
Because, you know, again, you know, the atmosphere was off the hook.
Yeah.
You know, and Paul London was there too, so, you know.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he had a table for his wrestling academy in the far right corner, so. You know,
okay.
That drew a lot of guys over there. I also saw Camacho.
Rancho Camacho? Rancho Camacho?
Yeah, he was like security for the night over in the other corner.
Oh wow!
He didn't wrestle, but he was there. But it was good. If you guys are ever out by Chapman University, Orange, California, and they're having a show at the post. Go! It's a happening out that way.
Yeah, definitely.
It really is, and they usually have them when Chapman is in school, so that's why they get a lot of fans.
Yeah.
Because they get a lot of the kids from school. So,
yeah,
I mean, it was cool. When I went,
I got to see Gino Rivera wrestle Danny Limelight Rivera, and it was really good. It was worth the money to go, but I didn't. You know, I had a brand new can of Skull, and I didn't have nothing to spit in. I didn't want to dump a good water bottle or whatever. And Billy Bonds goes, "Spit on the floor." I'm like, "Dude." It's been crazy. Hey man, well, whatever it takes to make you comfortable. I'm like, God bless you, man. But I ain't spinning on the floor. So, anyways,
I was there.
Oh, that's right. So, yeah, hey man, the man, whatever it takes, right, to keep the people happy.
Just spit on the floor.
So, all right. Let me take a quick break, Mike. We'll come back. We'll talk a little Lucha Libre Lance, because you were at that show too, and we'll talk a little bit about that. And, you know, AJ against Aquaman, I thought was going to be just knockdown drag out, but it was actually a Lucha, you know, wrestling match or whatever. So let me take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hang on, everybody. I don't have no Dusty Rhodes queued up because my phone is charging. But so real quick for the people listening, you're here finally back. Although we were a little bit late today, 7:30 start time, because we got Chad George coming up at 8:30 today because he's finishing up a class. But Michael Park's talking a little bit about, you know, Billy Bonds and them over there at Relentless Pro. But, you know, it was a action-packed weekend in front of you, Mike. So, you know, I was there. I got to talk to Mike for about maybe 8 minutes total, in that, because it was so much going on, you know, and all that, which was at Metroflex, and the big match was going to be, you know, the AJ Mana defending the belt against Aquaman himself, Chas Herrera. But let me give you my take real quick. Well, first of all, you know, Mike, you know how it is when you do a show and people don't show up. So SoCal Crazy didn't come. So did they actually put Hector with Legacy?
Yeah.
See, I saw them scrambling around at the end, and then Guyam is like, "Hey, bro, this guy didn't show up, so I'm going to have you, and then we'll switch this." And I'm like, "Oh, dude, okay, hold on a second." You know, trying to get him out there at the right time. So let's start with that match. How was that? Because that was a title match. And, you know, SoCal, good worker and all that, but you throw Legacy in there with Hector Canales against Maligno and Hades, that, you know, pues son de los barn burners, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, let me be honest with you, bro.
Go for it.
I I think Hector and Legacy, they looked like they it was pure domination on their part. They looked like they were just, I mean, and they were. They were putting a beating on those guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, the old savory veterans had to stick to cheating to get the W. I mean, it was funny how they did it, but, you know, they escaped. Because
yeah.
I thought they were going to lose those belts, man. Because they had their legacy. Boy, they made a great team.
Yeah, when I saw that, I thought, dude, I didn't get to see any of the match because I was in the back, but Hades came back and he's yelling and screaming, I can't find my mask, and what happened? And I'm like, what the heck went on out there, or whatever. But hey, if you're going to be the tag champs and you're holding the belts, you got to be ready for stuff like that. You know what I mean? You got to be able to change your levels and be ready to roll, right?
Yeah, what happened, which was funny, was Legacy was in the corner with the other guy, and Maligno was with Hector. Maligno ripped his own mask off and threw it to Hector and fell on the ground holding his face. And Hector turned around and saw it and disqualified him.
That's the oldest trick in the book.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what you know, because I talk to Rulo Ram on a daily basis, and I can't even take him with us to Local Grind anymore because you know he wants him to put the Mexican music that they don't even have and all that. But you know, I don't know what his thing is with Guyam, but he, you know, he showed me he finally got the paperwork to be able to work out here on a consistent basis. And he had the stamps and everything on it or whatever. So, you know, it's just mayhem back there. So I didn't get to see much of the match, but from what I heard, it was just like pure mayhem, just going out there to, wrestling went out the window and everybody just started brawling. But then, which is in my eyes should never happen. He pulled the mask off of Guyam. And to me, when you do that, not only I don't want you to see his face because that's what he called it, but then that draws a lot of heat, which I get, but it just makes it, you know, the people, like, they want to see him die. I get it, but I just don't like that particular, you know, where you just pull it off like that and you get to see their face for a second. You know what I mean? If you're going to do it, beat him up and then, you know, something. But that's, I saw that part. And then it was just mayhem after that because I saw Enigma Jr. run out, and then you know. So, but from what they announced, they're going to settle it in the cage, and it's going to be mask versus mask. So, talk a little bit about that.
Well, I mean, I think Rudo Ram, he's certifiable.
Uh-huh.
I'm worried about him in this tag team tournament because he came out with a kendo stick, and I mean, he was swinging. He was swinging at everybody, and I'm just like, somebody took that damn can away from him.
Mm-hmm.
And then it didn't help that Mr. California helped him double team Guyam.
Yeah.
And gave him the Kindle stick to choke Guyam with. And I'm like, come on, man, really? This is what we're doing now.
And I didn't.
This is what we're doing.
I didn't like that either, because then what does that say about Rudo Ram? You know, he's like, oh, they stacked the cards against me, and Chino doesn't know what he's doing. So I've been friends with Cali for a long time, and, you know, and so I was like, oh, come on, dude. That makes you look kind of weak because it's like you need help or whatever. But, you know, I think that was smart, which was Enigma idea, not Enigma Jr., Enigma himself, Enigma de Oro. He said, man, you know, the only way you're going to settle is put in the cage. You know, put in the cage. You don't have to worry about people coming in and out. It's on you. So that's the setup. And now they said March 3rd or something like that. But then I heard June 3rd or something like that. Did you get the right date of when that next show is going to be?
I thought it was March 3rd.
Yeah, they were telling me March 3rd, but then I heard Guyam say June 3rd or something like that. Because he was going back and, well, first of all, he couldn't find his mask, and he had a shirt over his head. So then when he finally found the mask, so he was probably a little disheveled or whatever. So either – I'm pretty sure it's March 3rd. That's going to be it. They're going to settle it in the cage. It's going to be mask versus mask and all that. So that's pretty cool. I mean, now to have a cage match to settle it all, I think that's going to be pretty cool. So that being said, you know, get that goddamn Rudo Ram and throw him the F out of there. You know, Enigma says, look, here's your money. Go out the back door. Take your ass back to San Ysidro or whatever, because he ended up coming out in AJ and Aquaman Chas Herrera's match, which really I thought if I was – and you could kind of see, Mike, I saw from the back, AJ didn't like that crap. He started to – like, he kind of gave him a look like, I'm about to get in your ass. And then he just started putting the boots to Aquaman. So I didn't get to see much of that either. So tell me what happened on that match.
Well, I mean, it was a back and forth with those two. And, you know, every time AJ was getting to take control, you know, Chaz would do something to get out of it. And, you know, they're going back and forth. And all of a sudden, here comes Rudo Ram. I'm like, oh, what is he running down here for? He gets involved. And you know, it really hurt my feelings because he put his hands on Sexy Chino.
Oh.
Not once, not twice, but three times. And the first two times, I did have to laugh because Sexy Chino got knocked down outside the ring and Rudo Ram helped him up. He's like, you okay, you okay? And he gave him a left uppercut and dropped him.
Yeah.
Me and my side of the fans, we were just rolling.
Yeah.
Because it was like, Rudo Ram, really? This is what you're doing.
Yeah, they have heat from the PWA show. Because remember, Chino was the referee when him and Vulcan Jr. wrestled against Big E and them. And in the interviews afterwards, he was like, yeah, it was Chino's fault. You know, he can't see. His eyes are like that. He can't see nothing or whatever. So I guess they had heat from before. And that was one of the reasons why he didn't do that match there. But you can't put your hands on the ref, dude. I mean, that's an automatic fight. You know, they'll take your whole pay. They'll take your whole $15.
Yeah, I mean, he should have got put in handcuffs. That man needs help. He does.
Yeah.
He's crazy as hell.
So
it makes no sense.
And so I didn't even know Vito was coming down. You know, I saw him talking in the back with Enigma and them. And then he runs out. It's a whole big mess. So by the time they came to the back, everybody was screaming and hollering. And the man who legitimately had a gripe was Chaz Aquaman, because he's like, well, wait a minute. How's he getting, you know, I'm the one who got screwed here or whatever. Oh, well, we're going to make it a non-title. And so I don't know if it's going to be a three-way or if it's going to be one-on-one, or we'll have to wait to see what they put out when they put the card out, right?
Right, yeah. We'll have to see what this comes about because, you know, Legal came out and you know, he was upset at AJ.
Yeah.
You know, and he was upset at AJ because it seemed like AJ was tagging up or getting help from Rudo Ram and you know, stomping people out. And Vito just didn't like it, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, they were in the back, and they're going back and forth, and I kind of saw what happened or whatever. And I pulled them both to the side. I said, hey, look, man, you know, you got to do business. You know, we got you guys as a tag team or whatever, and then you're fighting for the belt or whatever. But both of them, after they calmed down a little bit, you know, said, well, you know, business is business, and that's a huge opportunity because what they've got planned for us in the future, if it all comes to fruition, is huge, you know. So I heard a lot of, hey, you better pull it together, man, and, you know, stuff like that. So, and to be honest with you, the last people, I already got in between Venom Guerrero and Vito, damn sure wasn't going to get in front of AJ and Vito. You know what I mean? That's your show, Dito. So you guys handle it or whatever. So, but you know, I think I am, and especially Enigma, have enough people have enough respect for him to say, hey man, go over there, We'll talk to you in a minute. You go over there, separate, knock it off for a minute. I'll get with you or whatever. And they did. So I think that was a big element, you know, that they have a lot of respect for those guys or whatever. So I gotta say the breakout star for that show was probably Acero Dorado Jr., which is one of the sons, the younger sons. I think he's the middle son, if I'm not mistaken, because, you know, you can kind of tell where he came from. He was pretty good. He worked the crowd a little bit. He had some pretty good moves, you know, for as young as he is. I thought he did pretty well. Give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to see these youngsters going at it, and you know, he's gonna be a handful coming
right
up. That dude, he can go.
Yeah.
I really like him. I really do. We're gonna have to check out the future, you know, and you know, maybe I'm not gonna say what I was gonna say. I'm gonna hold it to myself. we're just gonna surprise some people. So yeah.
Well, when your father is Acero Dorado, and your grandfather is Dr. Muerte, and people like that, you're coming from good stock and training, you know, because back in the day at All Nations, you know, it was always Acero, Superboy, Capitan Oro, you know, all those guys, Mercurio, they all used to hang around and train together and all that. So I'm sure that's continuing on, as you can see, through Legacy and Superboy Jr. And now you throw Acero Dorado Jr. in the mix or whatever, you know, those guys are carrying on the tradition, because I see a lot of that in him, a lot of his dad in Acero Jr. You know, you could tell. And when he came back to the curtain, I'm like, yeah, man, I could tell, you know, where you came from. Cause he did, you know, you could see he's on the road or whatever to get in there or whatever. So I thought he did really well. And he was booked, but somebody else didn't show up, and they had to throw Tony Reyes, and not had to throw him in there, but he was there, so they put Tony Reyes in there. So that, real quick before we go to the break, I didn't get to see. I saw one, what's his name, tackled somebody in the ring. I looked out the curtain, and I just saw somebody get tackled, and they went halfway around the ring or whatever. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, man.
Tony, the plague. Like, the plague hit somebody and knocked them into Tomorrowland. Go ahead.
The plague is a big boy.
Yeah.
That's a big boy. But
yeah.
Tony was like a bat out of hell running around the ring with his big ass. He was smashing people in the corner. And then who was it? Tried to pick him up and body slam him.
Was it Warhog or?
No.
Or Red Spider?
No. Who the heck was it? It was Warhog. It wasn't, because it was a six-man. So
yeah.
It wasn't Warhog and it wasn't Red Spider. It was somebody else.
Oh, because it was Warhog, Red Spider, and Tony, right? Or was
yeah,
it? No, it was Plague, Warhog. No, it was Plague, Tony, and Red Spider, right? Against Warhog, what's his name? Jaguar de Oro and somebody else.
Well, it was a little guy that went to body slam Tony the first time. He did it and the second time, and he got him up. He didn't turn him, but he slammed him.
Uh-huh.
And everybody went, whoa! Everybody went, whoa! He just slammed him. It's like, shit. Okay. All right, little guy. All right. But it was a good match. It was an entertaining match. It was an entertaining match.
Well, I thought so.
That was the first time I saw Warhog in 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess I thought him and Red Spider were a team. Right. So, I got it all mixed up or whatever, because I had so much going on in the back. But they had been doing damage as a team or whatever. But I thought it was pretty cool. I had the only thing that sucked is I had to get Rulo Ram back to San Ysidro, and I wanted to Leonardo brought a bunch of merch, some really, he had the patches, and stuff like that, and I wanted to look at that, but I had to get him out of there, first of all, because Enigma said to get him out of there, and then from what I heard, the taco lady had quesadillas, and so I didn't even get, to enjoy none of that, because I had to take him back to San Ysidro, so I'm like, oh, dude, next time you do, you're on your own. I'm going to buy him a Uber card or whatever, so you can just go back on the Uber or whatever. But I did have a good time. It was really busy. You know how it is, man, when you're working in the back and you're trying to help out and get those guys out there. And then some people, they said they were coming out to this song and it was something else. So, it's a lot going on back there or whatever. But I did have a good time. I only didn't get to indulge in a few things or whatever. But let me take the break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more. There's a couple things I want to run by you. And then we got Chad George coming on in about 20 minutes or so. He's wrapping up his jiu-jitsu class. He had, dude, I don't know if you checked it out. He had 44 students in his intermediate class. And then he had like 30-something in his advanced class. And that's huge, because when Delo, when I talked to him, when we started training with everybody, he said, I have to have at least 35 students training, just to be able to run the lights and the gas and all that stuff at the dojo. He said, so everything other than that, is good for me. So, with Chad pulling that many people on his thing, that's the mark of people saying, hey, that's good training. Let's go down there and go check it out. So hopefully we'll be able to go down there and cover some of that jiu-jitsu tournament, because that's huge and there's a lot of traffic going through there and stuff like that. So we'll talk a little bit about that when he comes on at 8:30. Let me take a quick break, Mike, and then we'll come back and we'll talk a little more wrestling. We'll run a couple more things by you, okay?
Yeah, we're going to talk some Wrestle Kingdom. We haven't talked any.
Perfect. Hang on a second.
All right.
Why, hello there, and welcome.
Just for the record, the music was whack at Local Grind. I don't know. They had some goth chick working back there, and I don't know what the heck they – because the two sisters from the chiropractor came in again, and they walked right out. Last time they stayed and hit a couple of moves. Yeah, ma'am. So we're going to have to talk to the manager up there. But for the people listening, you're here. You're at Scoop Slam Radio with Michael Parks. Don't forget, if you want to check it out, it's at www.blogtalkradio.com/bosshog9. That's all in small letters. It's BOSSHOGG9, bosshog9, if you want to check out some of the archives. If you go down and check it out, there was a show we did with speaking of jiu-jitsu, we had Alan Goez on, who's huge, Tuva Jiu-Jitsu out there in Mission Viejo, nice area. We had him on, and the ratings went through the roof. I mean, it's like the highest rating that we ever had. Mike and I check out the peaks and all that when we go to our meetings, and it was just huge. So if you want to check that out, you could check that out. We had Ladies Night, I think, one night where we had Pauline Macias, and we had her on, and that got really good ratings or whatever. So if you want to check out some of the archives, just go to blogtalkradio.com/bosshog9. So I want to talk a little bit about Wrestle Kingdom, whatever. T.J. Perkins, he's got like some sort of a new gimmick going where he's wearing the mask for his Filipino heritage or something like that. But, they ended up keeping Daniel Bryan, and he went one-on-one with Okada. They kept him out there or whatever. But, I read a lot of the Spanish stuff. I got to tell you, man, Vampiro, he annoys me, dude, because he used to be such a cool person, and then he kind of went off the deep end. And I caught him right when he was off the deep end, because when they had the first Lucha Expo out there in Vegas, bless Kevin Kleinrock. He's like, bro, bring all your stuff. I was working for OTM at the time, and you could talk to whoever you want. It really took care of me, and that was one of the first people that I ran into. And I'm like, hey, bro, what's up, man? He's like, hey, what's going on? I said, you remember me from our match? And he goes, yeah, when you had the bomber with you and all that. And I'm like, yeah. So I had brought him a Ribera Steakhouse shirt or whatever. I said, oh, bro, I got your shirt, you know, from Ribera Steakhouse. I mean, and then he just went, he goes, these goddamn kids, they don't know nothing about this shit. And it just went on and on. And it was him and I and Solomon Grundy. If you see that picture, I think I posted it before, and you could just see in his face where he's just going off, and he just went on and on. And then he didn't want to talk after that. He was just like, you know, so then he kind of
something.
Yeah,
he just
kept going, you know, down that road. And then he really got it together, you know. And then I thought some of the stuff he did at Lucha Underground, I thought was genius, because like they had the opening of one of the seasons. And you know, he shaved his head, and he had one of those, like, denim prison shirts on, and they show him in a prison, and they're, like, doing probation where they're going to let him out. And they're going, do you have any evil thoughts or anything right now? And they show him, like, going through a table, a burning table. He's like, no. I thought, that was genius, bro, whoever did that. I thought it was great. So, you know, his podcast, he kind of cleaned up his act, not, you know, for lack of a better term. And it's really interesting. You know, he talks a lot to different people. He talked to Latin Lover, and they talked about the AAA and how they don't, which is exactly what you and I talk about. We like to hear the behind-the-scenes stuff, which he said on his podcast. He's like, hey, bro, I like to see stuff like how long it took you to get there. What did you eat on the way up there? And you know, what do you eat to stay in shape? And, you know, stuff like that. So that's kind of what his thing is or whatever. So, you know, I thought that's pretty cool. I thought, you know, whatever. But anyways, as I was reading some different stuff on the Lucha side, you know, Andrade said they offered him, you know, to come back to WWE. You know, he said they offered him a pretty good amount. But he said Tony Khan countered and said, bro, you know, we want you here, man. You know, what's it going to take or whatever. And so he's kind of on the fence. He's weighing his eyes. He went to CMLL. He wrestled against Ultimo Guerrero and people like that. And you could tell he's just way more comfortable out there. So I'm thinking, dude, why don't you go back to AEW and just put in your contract, dude, you know, that you can go to CMLL every once in a while, or especially New Japan. You know, you send him out there, it's going to be slamming. Send him and Cesaro or somebody as a tag team. They'll run roughshod or whatever. So that's what I'm hoping for him. Now we're talking about New Japan. Let's get him. And especially now as Joe, as the champ. You know, you run a pay-per-view where we kind of mix all those people. Dude, I'll pay money for it. I mean, you would too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so give me your thoughts on that. Don't you think, Andrade, if that was – and another thing is Charlotte. They kind of – you know, they were on the rocks, but they kind of really – I mean, that was pretty cool of her to go to Mexico to go see him and stuff like that, kind of renewed their stuff. So I think he might want to come back, you know, so that they could be together or whatever. So –
Well,
you know, but
hurt.
I don't.
Hurt, right?
I hate to be selfish, but I'd rather see him stay in AEW and fix that contract, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, because I would like for him to take a trip over to New Japan and his boys from Los, you know,
Los Ingobernables de Japón, man, that's huge.
Yes, yes. And especially now, since, you know, what's the cat out of the bag, you know, Naito is the new champion. So, you know, it would be cool to see him over there.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
But if he stays in AEW, you know, it's the same thing we always talk about. What are you going to do with him? You have so much talent over there. What are you going to do with him?
Well, I can give you my thoughts. Or you tell me what you think.
Go ahead.
You know what? They need to bring – I don't know what happened to the six-man belt, because that was really cool. But you put, you know, the Ingobernables from AEW or whatever. You put Rush, Andrade, Carístico against Malakai Black, Buddy, and Brody King. Dude, that's money.
Oh.
That's money right there. Bring back that six-man belt, you know? Get Brian Cage out of the thing with Swerve Strickland. Swerve Strickland and Prince Nana, put them on their own. They are so over. It's ridiculous. You know, stop that stupid faction. Leave them to, because they're going to pull a crowd. Let Brian Cage go. Put him with some, you know, some compatible guys with him and bring back that six-man belt. And dude, they could draw money left and right. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, yeah, because, you know, you can't put them against, you know, Ray Phoenix and them, because they're just too beat up.
Yeah.
You know, they beat themselves up too much.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see them be utilized in a way in which the crowd appreciates what they do.
Right.
Because not seeing them out there, you know, performing, you know, against top-notch guys, it kind of sucks, because, again, you're wasting their talent.
Yeah.
Send them to Ring of Honor. Let them win the six man over there in Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Let them boost that title back up where it was before.
Right.
You know, it's not, you know, Roosh was over there. He was the heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
Go back over there and pull Ring of Honor up.
Yeah.
With the talent that you have.
Right.
You can. It makes no sense. You have the opportunity to have two companies on par or a little bit lower underneath the WWE.
Right. And maybe take that Brian Cage and put him over there with Powerhouse Hobbs. Well, I was going to say put him with Powerhouse Hobbs and Kinoshi Takeshita, but, dude, I would pay money. I would pay money to see Takeshita against Samoa Joe. I mean, that would be money right there. That would be huge. Takeshita, he wrestled Darby Allin, and I'm like, dude, and you can see, I don't know if you saw that match, but you can see Takeshita like, this is BS, and just literally, he just ran right through that kid, man. That kid had no business being in the ring with Takeshita. Like, you know what I'm saying?
You put me in the ring with this baby.
Yeah.
Darby, it's not personal.
Yeah. No.
This is business. But
it's
I got
different levels.
Yeah.
I mean it's just it's a different level, bro. They build him up, put him against Joe for the belt. I'll pay money. You know, there's a lot of, it's just like WWE, there's a lot of endless potential. But you know, go ahead and talk a little bit about Wrestle Kingdom. On Access TV they showed the replay of Kenny Omega against Will Ospreay, which I thought somebody was going to die in that match. But they're already advertising that this Thursday they're going to show the semi-main event, which was Finley, Will Ospreay, and John Moxley in the three-way. So they're going to show that. And I'm looking forward to that, man. I mean, it's just something that's so different or whatever. And I like I said, man, I mean, I don't see it in John Moxley and what the hell. But when we went to New Japan and he came out, it's pretty cool. I mean, oh, dude, there he is. He's right there. And, you know, and the whole entrance was pretty cool. So I'm looking forward to that match. But talk a little bit about it. I mean, of course, Wrestle Kingdom is going to be worth it. But give us a brief synopsis on that.
Well, you know, this was the first Wrestle Kingdom under the heading of Tanahashi, you know, since he's the new president. And you know, it what sucks is, you know, we used to, hey man, Wrestle Kingdom is we gotta watch Wrestle Kingdom, we gotta watch Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah.
But they've fallen off so much that we've kind of put it to the wayside.
Yeah.
And, you know, this one was good. You brought up PJ Perkins. He's in the tag team. It's called Catch 22 or Catch 22. And it's him and Francisco Akira. And they beat up on the Bullet Club, War Dog.
Oh, wow. Wow!
Yeah, Drilla, Maloney, and Clark Connors. So by pinfall, so they're the new IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champs.
Yeah.
So that happened. Tanahashi beat Zack Sabre Jr. to become the NJPW World Television Champ. House of Torture Evil and Red Narita defeated two guys I've never seen before. Tomatonga.
Two guys I've never seen before.
Tomatonga, which he said this was his last 2 months in Japan. He's not residing with him. He said he wants to come home and be closer to his family.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see where he gets signed. But, you know, he beat Takagi for the Never Open Championship.
Yeah, Shingo Takagi, yeah.
What was crazy was El Desperado beat Takahashi for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title.
Uh-huh.
I didn't think that was going to happen, but he did. And, of course, Finley beat Ospreay and Jon Moxley.
Yeah.
Have you seen that IWGP global belt?
Yeah, man, that's pretty cool.
Dude, that's a nice belt. That is a nice belt. Of course, Okada beat Bryan Danielson.
Yeah.
And Naito beat Sonata for the world title. So I want to see these matches because, you know, I miss New Japan. I really do.
Yeah.
I miss the way it used to be, but, you know, I got to get back into it because it's still one of the best companies out there.
Yeah.
You know, so, and they bring the young lions up and they're doing pretty good. Plus this show, it was a mix of New Japan, Noah, and who's the other company that was with them? It was Pro Wrestling Noah. Oh, AEW, Pro Wrestling Noah, and New Japan. So it was awesome. It was nice, dude.
Yeah,
it was nice.
It used to be pretty cool because they used to have it on New Year's Eve, and then it just used to, like, it started at 2 o'clock in the morning and ran all night or whatever. That was pretty cool. I wish they would bring that back. Because it kind of like, you know, you're staying up and it's the new year and you celebrate and then bam, the pay-per-view's on.
Well, they had, they did have the Dash. They did.
They did?
They had the New Year's Dash.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. Tanahashi beat Taguchi for the world television title. Girls of Destiny 1. Great Bash Heel, Togi Makabe.
Yeah.
Oh, man, they're still wrestling. It was a 12-man tag team match.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
I think I read or saw on the internet that they're going to have the rematch with Zack Sabre Jr. and Bryan Danielson out there, which I think that's pretty cool. I'm glad to see Bryan Danielson is, like, stepping up his game before he retires or whatever he's got going on, because that was a heck of a match at the pay-per-view. And I think if they do it out there, it's going to be even better. Because for some reason, man, when those guys go out there, they step up their game big time. And it's going to be huge. But let me take that break real quick, Mike, so that we can get Chad George in here. I sent you some breaking news on your phone.
I just saw it.
Check it out, and we'll talk about it when we get back. Hold on a second. I saw that breaking news, and I went like this. It took me a minute because my phone's blowing up. Dude, did you see this or whatever? But, man, real quick for the people, listeners, you're here. You're on Scoop Slam Radio with Michael Parks, of course, and myself. We're talking a little bit about New Japan and stuff like that. But, you know, we're working hard on this big show coming up on February 10th. A lot of stuff going on. So, you know, we're going to try to talk a little bit more about it before we get out of here. But there's just such a buzz or whatever. And the show is important because, you know, sponsorships and stuff like that, because we got a lot of potential sponsors that are going to come check out the show on February 10th. So I'm going to go ahead and send Chad George, that he can go ahead and call him, but give me a little bit of that breaking news that I just sent you there, because it is March 3rd.
The breaking news. This is good. This is kind of, it is Máscara versus Máscara. Excuse me. Ulloram and Kayam in a cage. This is huge, because Kayam's worn that mask his entire wrestling career.
Yeah.
Even being a part of Los Chivos. And Ulloram, he's worn his mask for his entire career. So, this is going to be the end-all be-all right here, brother.
Yeah, that's...
Somebody's going home.
Dude, that is huge. But on the line with us right now, Mike, our special guest at this time, Chad George. Chad, is that you, my man? Can you hear us?
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
Man, hey, I got to tell you, man. I know you're not too familiar with the show, but we're doing a Scoop Slam Radio now with Michael Parks. Michael Parks has been in the business for such a long time or whatever. And, you know, On the Mat is slowly, you know, putting everything back together. So I've been working over here with him. And when we talked about it and I'm telling him about Chad George, he's like, dude, we got to get him on and get this jiu-jitsu tournament out there. But go ahead, Mike, real quick, say hi to Chad George.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good,
nice
brother.
To
nice to meet
brother.
You. How's everything?
Everything is wonderful, man. I appreciate you coming on tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me. Always good catching up with Bobby, and I'm always available.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, man, when I was through my days of Tap Out, through my days of Sinister and On the Mat, Chad was one of the people that was like my go-to guy. I mean, because it's legit. We talked a lot about how Eddie Bravo Invitational brought a whole new light onto, you know, no-gi grappling and jiu-jitsu, to where a lot of the guys are like, man, now I can actually make money and open my own dojo and stuff like that. But Chad took it to the next level, because when you first opened CMMA, you know, we went down there, we did some live stuff, but you've expanded so much. And Mike and I were talking at the opening, I'm like, dude, he put out there, he had like 44 students in his intermediate class, or then this beginner class had 38, and it's just grown, you know, and mushroomed since then. So real quick, before we get into talking about your jiu-jitsu tournament, I mean, what's the key? I mean, people know who Chad George is, and they're like, bro, I got to go over there and get some good training, right?
You know, I think the key is just you got to love what you do, right? And when you love what you do, people feel that passion, and they want to be around things that, you know, people enjoy what they're doing. There's so many schools, so many instructors that are out there that are just to get a paycheck, and the people feel that, right? Like, you don't want to be at a place that you're just a number paying a bill, right?
Yeah.
You know, especially right now, you know, times are tough. And the things that we're going to spend our money on, we want to make sure that we're getting our own personal value out of it. And as a gym owner, as an academy owner, you know, I love this stuff. And I want people to know that I love teaching them. And I'm super appreciative that they're going to spend their hard-earned money on something that's like this, that, you know, that's going to bring value to their life. And that's the biggest thing about it. All this stuff is the value that you have to give your students.
Yeah, I would agree 100%. And the proof is there, because I've seen Chad a lot, especially over there for Knockout Promotions, right there at Metroflex Gym. You know, he's always got fighters there and always, you know, putting a lot into them. And like, you know, Mike and I talk a lot, you know, people don't see the behind the scenes, you know, making weight and even the little things like Tracy Hess has bags for you guys to make sure you get the hands wrapped. And there's so much that goes into it, you know. When we talk to Chad, we talk about stuff like that, because people don't get to see it. They just see the finished product. So not only, you know, with the jiu-jitsu and grappling and all that, he does, you know, taking the fighters to fight so they could what's the word I'm looking for? Not prove, but, you know, put it out there that they've been training and test their skills, you know, out there on a place like Knockout Promotions. But with that being said, I mean, you know, if there's somebody who has a lot on more on their plate than Chad George, I want to meet him because he's got so much going on. But now to go ahead and have your own, you know, jiu-jitsu tournament, the California Sub-Series, talk a little bit about that. What motivated you to get that going? You want to do, like, do you want to show how it's done, or do you just want to show, look, this is the way I like to do a tournament?
You know, it's a little bit of both, right? Like, I think people need to compete. Like, jiu-jitsu is one of those things that how do you know if it works if you're not competing? And
yeah.
there's only so many tournaments around. And it's hard to get tournaments where you can get lots of rounds in. You know, IBJJF is going to charge you $150 to compete.
Yeah.
Even NABJJF now, SJJF, they've raised their price. You're talking $120 just to compete. And,
yeah.
I mean, that is tough. And so, like me, I've got my tournament submission series. I'm also I work with a lot with Josh Barnett. He's got his catch wrestling tournament. I mean, we're charging between, if you get in on entry level, $40 to $60 to compete. And you're going to get matches, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter if you're a white belt, blue belt. Like, it's about mat time. Like, if you want to get good at jiu-jitsu, I do believe you have to compete. Some people argue with me that, but I'm a competitor. I've been competing my whole life. I've competed at the highest level of sports. And I know that the only way I got there was by trial and error. I had to go into the fire, and I had to go back to the lab with what worked and what didn't work. And that's why, like, I think submission series is so cool, because there's no point. I want people to understand that, like, it's about going for the submission, but we don't do EDI overtime. Our overtime is first takedown wins, because if this is designed as a self-defense system, you need to learn how to control somebody. You need to learn how to get it to the floor. So we don't allow guard pulling, but in overtime, if there's no submission, first takedown wins, and that way, you know, it's
divisive. Yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about. The way Chad, you know, puts it, hey, we're not going to sit there and butt scoot or whatever. You're going to go for the takedown. If you get that takedown, then you win or whatever, which makes a lot of sense. But for the people listening, if you want to go down and check it out, it's the California Submission Series 6. It's Sunday, January 28th. It's at the CMMA. It's at 1617 West Rosecrans Avenue, number 0. It's in Gardena, California. If you want to check it out, you can go to cmmafitness.com/events, so you can check out everything's up there, the how much it costs, you know, what time the weigh-ins and everything are. Now, on there, you know, it says that the women can compete for free.
Since Mike
and I have been doing this show, we had a couple of women, Pauline Macias and people like that on here, and for some reason the ratings just, they go through the roof. But you're starting to see a lot more women, you know, competing now or whatever. So talk a little bit about that. You know, you want, to me, that's cool. I mean, you know, women are free, come in, show us what you got. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, you know, the reason why we want the women to compete is because every tournament you go to, right, a lot of women are afraid to sign up. They're afraid to register to pay for it, because
the
last thing you want to do is spend $120 and have nobody in your division or one match. It's just silly. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to bring an awareness to women's grappling. Like, hey, let's build this thing. You know, like, let's get you guys comfortable in competing. And then also the micro marketing works with that too, because when you have girls from your academy going to compete, well, I might as well compete too. So now we're bringing in other groups that wouldn't have came in, but because the girls are competing, I'm going to go because they're going to that tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. And to me, it seems like what I found through the years is some of the girls, not intimidated, but they're like, I don't know if, and they, you know, they see a bunch of guys and they're, you know, they're grappling and stuff like that. When they see more women, they're like, not at Chad's, because Chad's is more like a family atmosphere. You know what I mean? It's not you can kind of tell. It's got a good family atmosphere, kids class, stuff like that. And, you know, they see that, they're like a little more comfortable. But when they see more women, and it's like you said, with the competition, they're like a little more comfortable. Oh, let me check this out. You know, and like you said, since you guys are going for my academy, I'm going to go with you guys, and it all works out well. Well, I honestly, man, I think you got something there. I mean, it's really cool that you got something like this, especially – coming from somebody like Chad, who's been in the business for so long. And I don't think there's anything in jiu-jitsu, MMA, or whatever that you haven't seen, especially because the last time, Mike, that I had Chad on the podcast, we were talking about the combat jujitsu, and we were talking about how it's a whole different ballgame. I mean, you know, because when you're grappling with somebody, you're trying to think, you know, maybe one step ahead or whatever. So as you're thinking about, bam, you might get hit a couple of times, and it kind of changes everything. So real quick before we finish that up, talk a little bit about that, because it kind of, I'm not going to say it kind of went, it was really super hot, and then it kind of came down a little bit, and now starting to come back again. Are you still doing it? Because you were the champion, right?
Yeah, I was actually the first world champion.
Yeah.
So I was part of the inaugural world, and, you know, it was amazing. We had a lot of MMA guys and a lot of jiu-jitsu guys, and it was bringing, like, strong awareness to real jiu-jitsu. And the reason why I call it real jiu-jitsu is because jiu-jitsu is a self-defense system. It's gotten, like, I hate to say it, but it's taken a turn where it's gotten soft. And guys are, like, afraid to go back to it being a martial art of self-defense. And, you know, that can be a fault of, you know, just the way the sport has gone as far as competition. You know, it's funny because, like, I love Eddie. You know, he's a buddy of mine. I've done EDI. I've done combat jiu-jitsu. But I think that the fight to win and the earlier EDIs, and not even earlier, like the overtime of EDI even now, you know, I think it's allowed people to move away from the self-defense side of things, where it's like I can sit on my butt and I can play around for as long as the rounds are. Like, I'm going to use fight to win. And, again, I love fight to win because it's the closest thing to what I think is at least you're attacking. And, you know, I can do this and I can go for one attack and I can win a referee's decision to fight to win. EDI, I can get smashed positionally for 10 minutes and then get to a position that I didn't earn and win by escape from that position. To me, that doesn't really teach you real self-defense. You know, I think you've got to be in a position where in combat jiu-jitsu, if you're in a bottom position, you're getting fucked up. Like, you're getting smashed, and, you know, and you have to move. You have to treat this like a real self-defense system. And it's pretty cool because I think the reason why combat jiu-jitsu is building steam a little bit again, because there are people bringing in, get people that are seeing it as a means to be violent in a self-defense form with people that are not trying to use it as self-defense.
Yeah.
You know, because if you get two guys playing, that removes the whole term of fighting. You know, I mean, we're not playing for position. We have to fight. And that's why with the uprise of, like, ADCC, right? Look how big ADCC's gotten now.
It's
huge. As far as the trial, the sub-event, because Look at the way they institute the rules. You cannot stall. You have to work. You have to go for takedown. And I think that mentality is what's starting to make this shift, bringing jiu-jitsu back to its kind of core of, like, we have now taken all these amazing techniques that have grown with it and finally turning it into another martial arts self-defense system.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I read a lot of documentaries and stuff like that. And when I was reading the book on Dan Gable, he said, you know, when I teach my students and I have my students and I work with them on the mats and stuff like that, you know, I told him, you know what, I don't care, honestly, if you win or lose. I just want that opponent to come off that mat and go, I never want to fight that guy again. I never want to get on the mat with that guy again. So when you were talking about that, that's what was going through my mind. Hey, man, regardless of whatever, you're going to get off that mat and go, dude, I don't never want to go against that guy again. But real quick, for the people listeners, you're here. You're at School Sam Radio with Michael Parks, and we're talking to Chad George. Big California Submission Series 6 coming up. It's going to be Sunday, January 28th. It's at CMMA. It's at 1617 West Rosecrans Avenue, number 0 in Gardena, California. If you want to check it out, just go to www.cmmafitness.com/events. Women, you can come down and compete for free, so make sure you check it out. Go ahead, Mike.
I have a question for Chad.
Yes,
Chad,
sir.
I'm going to segue to something else. You have so much on your plate. Where did you find the time to write this book, A Champion's Mindset?
That's been a lifelong project, right? So for me, I've been writing that. I wrote that book. It took me, 7 years of just compiling data and getting it all together. But when COVID hit, I really said, you know what, it's time to start really buckling down, and I need to write this book, especially at the time frame that it was, where I needed to find more motivation, and I was doing it through, like, just reliving all the old stories, and I knew other people needed to hear that stuff too. so my inspiration for finding more time was literally knowing that people needed to hear it. People needed to know that they're not alone, and they also need to know that all of us have a story to tell. It's just this one happens to be mine, and I want to show the similarities between my story as a fighter and your story with whatever it is that you're going through, that we all have to fight to survive in this crazy fucking world. But if we do, if we keep moving forward, amazing things will happen.
Yeah.
Right, cause, you know, it's crazy that when the book was released, it became the number one ebook in MMA on Amazon, right?
Yeah.
When it was released.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that,
so, I mean,
that's because
it's
the real deal.
Yeah,
that's because it's
cool.
The real deal. When, especially from somebody like Chad, who's been through it all, or whatever, and speaks from the heart, and it's real, and people want to read. That's like we talk about here, you know, all the stuff that's behind the scenes that people don't see. Even like when you go to take your fighter, and they don't make weight, and they got to redo the contracts, and he might have to, you know, go up, drink water to make 2 pounds to make it or whatever. Chad has been through all that. But real quick, Chad, because we're running up against the clock. Mike and I would definitely like to come down and check out this jiu-jitsu tournament and maybe cover it, and, you know, so we could get it on the website and stuff like that. So for the people listening, got to come down and check it out. It's the California Sub-Series 6. It's Sunday, January 28th at CMMA. If you want to check it out, go to cmmafitness.com/events. Got to go down and check it out. It's going to be slamming. Hey, man, a million thank yous for coming on, Chad. As Mike and I were talking, we know you got a lot on your plate. But just to come on and you know, talk a little bit about jiu-jitsu and the tournaments and stuff like that, we really appreciate it. All right, my man?
My pleasure, guys. Anytime you guys want me on, just hit me up. I love to talk about this stuff, and I always find time to be available.
Absolutely, and we definitely
appreciate
like to come down and check it out. We would like to come
exactly.
Early, check out from the beginning, check out those weigh-ins and stuff so that people kind of get to see what it's all about. Is that cool, my man?
Yep, of course. We'd love to have you. Just hit me up
all right.
We'll set it up.
Definitely. We will definitely be in touch. Chad, George, everybody, make sure you check him out. Big California Sub-Series coming up. We'll be right back after this. Thanks, my man. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Chief.
Soundstripe.
You might have to get another partner on here because I should have left some more time so he could talk. It's somebody like that too, like Chad, who's been through it all. I mean, you could talk about anything jiu-jitsu, MMA related or whatever. They had a documentary out. I forget the name of that, but I'll get it out there for you, where they showed when he first started, you know, and training and getting to where he got to today. It's really cool. So we'll have to check that out. But and we'll definitely go down, Mike, and check out the jiu-jitsu tournament. I like to cover the weigh-ins, you know, maybe cover a couple of matches and stuff like that, so we can report about it live. What do you say about that?
Oh, of course. And I was sitting there thinking, I'm like, thinking of talking about people with, you know, a lot of stuff on their plate. We still got to go see Mark Ortiz. We still
oh,
got to
definitely.
Travel down to his place and see what he's talking about. You know, we're taking this radio station around California, not just in pro wrestling, but in MMA and in combat fighting. We're universal.
He also just texted and said that they're having a big 10-year celebration on the 21st. Open mat, barbecue, vendors. So, we're definitely going to have to go check that out for sure. You know, especially with the big show coming up on February 10th, we're going to go down to Mark Ortiz, opened up a pop shop or whatever. So we're going to go down there. And, you know, we didn't get to do the studio show or whatever, but when Mike and I were talking, that's a perfect place to do a live broadcast because there's so much going on right there, right off of Bellflower and Artesia. So we're going to get everybody down there, you know, get ready for the big show on February 10th. But Anyways, Mike, I'm, you know, running up against the clock. You know me, I could talk forever, but it was glad to finally come back on the air, talk a little bit about, you know, going to the different shows and, you know, of course, the big show coming up on February 10th. It just keeps growing and growing. I get a lot of emails and a lot of messages and stuff like that asking about it because a lot of people, the main thing, Mike, is what you know, what we talk a lot about is, I mean, it's not, you know, just wrestling. It's a whole show. You know, we got food and we got drink and it's family friendly. That's the first thing. First two things they ask. First of all, is it family friendly? And I'm like, absolutely. Second of all, they're going to have beer. Yes, we are. So that's the two main things or whatever. But Mike has been working so hard to put this together, you know, and a lot. Tell him, Mike, how many times we meet at least twice a week, you know, to keep everything going or whatever. And it takes a lot of work. Yeah. Yeah. And then, well, this guy might not be able to make it. Well, what about this? And so we finally put everything together. And with what we got here, looks really well. When I put the trophy, you know, online that this is what it's all about, people are like, oh, okay. Now it looks like there's something to shoot for or whatever. So all that just added more to the big show. Right, Mike?
Yeah. And, you know, it's, again, I sit back and I think about stuff. You know, but the first two shows, that was just us getting our feet wet.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
You know, being able to do the show. It's because, you know, folks, and I'm kind of pulling the curtain back a little bit, but it's one thing to say that you can put a show on. It's another to go out and do it.
Yeah.
And spend the money and hope that people show up. You know, I can honestly tell you, you know, our first two shows, we probably had a total of 15 people.
Yes.
But the thing is you learn from those because then you learn what it is that you have to do in order to get to the next level.
Right.
And I think this being our third show, you know, I think we're going to surpass, you know.
Right. And anybody in this business that has their first show and makes $500, first of all, I want to meet that person because I want to know how they did it.
Right.
And you don't, you know, there's nowhere to go from there but down. But when you have to, you know, I'm a big believer in paying your dues. You have to pay your dues to get to the promised land. So, you know, had to do those first two shows, smaller venue just to get, you know, everything going. And now we're moving, you know, forward and really, you know, putting a lot of stuff together to make this show huge and a lot of stuff happening. And since we're running up against the clock, we didn't get a chance to talk about it. Added bonus, you know, we got a first match in there. Maligno, who just finished defending his belt for Lucha Libre Alliance, he's going to go one-on-one with Príncipe Perú to start off the show.
Oh.
So it just keeps building and building. Right, Mike?
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, that's going to be a match and a half itself. And that's going to be the kickoff match. So, folks, if you want to be a part of history, this is our first ever Tag Team World Cup. Come down February 10th, Saturday night, February 10th, bell time, 7 o'clock, at Metroflex Gym in Hawaii Gardens, 12251 East Carson Street. Doors open at 6 o'clock. VIP package is $75 for four. Two tickets for adults, two tickets for kids. Come meet the wrestlers before the doors open.
Yes.
Meals, snacks, and drinks. It's going to be a happening, as Bobby likes to say. It's going to be a happening. Come join us. Really, come join us.
Definitely. Well, hey, man, I'm glad we finally got to get everything, you know, back on track or whatever. I talked to Hector. He's like, bro, let me know, you know, when I could come on or whatever. So we'll try to get him on next week, get his thoughts, because he was going to team with SoCal Crazy to go against Maligno and Hades and didn't show up. So he was a little bit hot, and he's going to be tagging with me to go against SoCal Crazy and Daryl. So, you know, that might even be another added element, you know, to the big surprise that we got in store for them on the big show. So, Mike, a million thank yous, man. Chad George, a million thank yous for coming on. He just sent us a text that he's having a big anniversary party on the 21st. So maybe we could try to make that, man, because they're having barbecue. I'm there. So definitely check that out. But
yeah,
all right, Mike.
You know that's right.
Any last words before we get out of here?
Folks, 2024 is going to be a big year for PWA, and we don't want to do it by ourselves. We want everybody involved. So hop on board, you guys. Hit us up on Instagram. Hit Favi and I up on Facebook. Start, you know, we're going to start leaving the telephone number on Scoop Slam so you guys can call in and we
yes.
can start a chat so we can get you guys involved. We want the fans involved.
Yeah,
we want to start branching out.
Yeah, the
you know,
feedback straight from them. Remember when we started off with Clams 189 or
yes.
something like that? And we progressed from then. So, all right, Mike. Hopefully I'll see you next Tuesday. If not, we'll bring it to them live and in color. All right, my man?
You know that's right.
All right,
behalf of Favi Chulo, it's Big Mike. We'll catch you next Tuesday for another episode of Scoop Slam Radio. Peace, y'all.
Hopefully we can have some new dusty material.
Exactly.